Our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are glad this morning that you have given us this opportunity to fellowship one with another. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, the entrance of your word this morning brings light. And we know that you have appointed a time to favor your people, Lord. And the time is here. And when the time of promise drew near, we are told in the Bible that God began to do things in order to bring to pass his word. Now, Lord Jesus, begin and work a miracle and set things in motion to bring this favor into the lives of your people. We give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Can I get amen, everybody? Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, the favor of God. Amen. That's right. The favor of God. I won't speak very long because we have the other thing after church. You know, the favor of God. I'm going to start here in Psalms 44 and verse 3. And I will be telling you or sharing with you stories of a few people that had this favor of God in their lives from the Bible. Now, in Psalms 44 and verse 3 is where I will start. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. Amen? Amen. But thy right hand, O Lord, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Amen? Amen. Now, he was talking about, of course, Israel. You have to read the whole chapter of Psalms 44 to see what he was talking about, you know, and all the things that happened and so forth, you know, and how even God drove out the heathen before them, and to give them the land of promise. But he's saying here that, look, they did not get the land in possession by their own sword. And it wasn't by their own power, neither was by their own might. Amen? Amen. Are you with me, folks? Amen. But it was by the right hand of the Lord, and by God's arm, because the light of his countenance and his favor was upon them. Amen? And I'm going to share with you for just a little bit today, this morning, the light of God's countenance and the favor of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now in Proverbs chapter 16, I'm going to lay a foundation here before I bring you these stories from the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 15, we are told that, the favor of the Lord, you know, in the light of them. Remember, we're talking about the light of his countenance. Amen? 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 Psalm 44 said, it was the light of his countenance and his favor that got them into the land. Okay, so that's what we're talking about this morning. The favor of God and the light of his countenance. Amen. That's what we're talking about here this morning. You know, so, now listen to this verse. In the light of the king's countenance. Now, of course, you know, there are many kings and many lords, but there is one that is King of Kings. And there is one that is Lord of Lords. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in the light of the King's countenance is life. And Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in his favor, he said his very favor is at the cloud of the latter rain. My goodness, you know, farmers, they'll tell you about that. They've got the planting and or the early rain, and then they've got the latter or the harvest rain. And if the harvest rain doesn't come, you know, it's anguish for the farmers and so forth like that. So the favor of the Lord is as a cloud of the latter rain. And the light of his countenance is very life itself. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about the favor of God and the light of God's countenance, you know, upon your life. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, in Psalms 113, verses 7 through 9. Now, this is what God can do. And the stories that I'm going to share with you this morning will show you what he did similar to this verse. He raised up the poor out of the dust. And he lifted up the needy out of the dunghill. Verse 8. To do what? So that he may set him with princes. Even with the princes of his people. Verse 9. And he says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. And to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. These three verses tell you that God is able to change any story. Amen. The story of the man that is in the dust. The story of the beggar that is even eating out of the dust or the trash. God is able to lift him up and set him among princes. Amen. And the story, you know, of the barren woman, God is able to make her a joyful mother of children. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you some stories here in the Bible. And if the favor of God is in your life, your circumstances do not matter and cannot prevent the favor of God from bringing the light of his countenance to shine upon you. The favor of God, once it's upon a life, the hand of the Lord is upon that life for good, and the light of his countenance is shining on that life. You know, and I'm going to tell you some stories this morning. And no matter where you are at, now some of you, and the Lord, you know, he gave me this message because there are some people that, you know, that are down, and I've been struggling with a lot of things and so forth, you know, and, you know, there's coming a change. Amen? Praise God. You know, 4 months ago, when we were in the consecration service on Sunday in August, the Lord gave a prophetic utterance that I'm going to repeat in this message. You know, during that, I had to go back and listen to it. And then I took that little portion out. I put it on Facebook. And I put it out there and so forth like that so people can listen to the word of the Lord. At the time, it was 4 months to the end of the year. And the Lord said, say not in your heart that there are yet 4 months until the end of this year and my situation is still the same. And the Lord said, am I a God that is afar off and not a God that is near? He said, am I a God of future years and not a God of this year? And he said, for behold, before the end of this year, and I'm here to repeat that to you this morning. He said, before the end of this year, that situation which you have thought was hitherto unattainable, that the Lord is going to bring it to pass. Amen? He said, so that I may make my name a praise in your life. Hallelujah. And I've given that prophetic word to encourage some of the people here that are sitting here this morning. And I want to tell it to you, church, that I'm watching for that word's fulfillment. Because he said, before the end of this year, and there are some of you that need that favor of God in your life to turn your situation before the end of this year. Amen? Yes. Praise God. And I want to say unto you today, yet 21 days, and this word shall be fulfilled. Amen? Yes. That's right. You know, because the word of God always sustains itself. But it needs, see, the word of God is like a seed. And it needs fertile ground for that seed to work. That place where that seed must be planted is your faith. Amen? Amen? Because when the word of God is not mingled with faith, the Bible says the word of God did not profit them because it was not mingled with faith in their hearts. You know, but this word of God here this morning, it will profit you. Amen? Because I have prayed for everybody and I said, Lord, let them have faith in their hearts to believe your word. Because see, the angels of God are waiting. They're looking for somebody who is going to believe. Because the time of the promise is drawing near. And when the time of promise draws near, the angels of God are ready to go into action to make sure that that promise comes to pass in your life. Amen. God begins to orchestrate events so that that promise may come to pass in your life. Now listen to these stories that we will share with you briefly here this morning to encourage you. People who through many things rose from obscurity to greatness. Amen? Hallelujah. Because the favor of God was upon their lives. You know, I'm going to leave my favorite one of those stories till the end. You've heard me say it before, but I'll come back and say that. But I want to tell you the story of, first of all, I have many stories, but I'm going to cut it short because of time. But let me tell you the story of Daniel. Daniel, and he had some companions, he had some friends. They later called their names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may have read in the first few chapters of Daniel about his story and some of his friends. I want to tell you that Daniel was a slave. Some of you may not think of it like that, but they were carried away captive into the land of Babylon. You know, he was in captivity. You know, he was somebody that had no rights. You know, he was somebody that had been stripped of his freedom. In fact, they carried him away from his home. You know, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar the king, you know, carried away all, you know, carried away many, many things from Israel and so forth. You know, carried many of those people from the land of Judah into captivity, you know. So, but listen to this story here in Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to just read a couple of verses. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 48. Now, I'm going to show you how that the favor of God being on the life of Daniel, you know, caused him to do and arise, and God promoted him to great heights. Amen? Now, the favor of God is going to bring promotion in your life. Praise God. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over all the whole province of Babylon. And he made him chief of the governors over all of the wise men of Babylon. Amen. Amen, folks. This was somebody out of captivity. In fact, the favor of God was upon him from the beginning. You know, when the king was looking for some young men to stand before him and so forth and to do, you know, the business in the court of the king's house, you know, they appointed, you know, some governors and some things like that to look over them and to nourish this young man with the king's meat and portion of the king's meat, you know, and so forth until the time that they will stand before the king. Daniel and his companion said, "We don't want any of that." You know, you give us this pause over here and so forth, but the favor of God was upon them. Amen? They did not eat any of the lavish king, you know, king's meat and so forth. They just trusted in the name of the Lord, and they ate their own little diet and so forth. But the favor of God made them to be fairer than all the others that ate all those wonderful things. You know, and at the end, they came out better. The Bible said they came out better than everybody else. Amen? The favor of God was already working upon them. And at the end, see, in order that God, see, when God, look, let me tell you something, folks. When God's favor is in your life, you heard me preach this before in another kind of message. The enemy cannot stop your destiny. Amen? Daniel was destined to greatness. Whether he would be in captivity or whatever was not going to make a difference. And in order for the greatness and for the goodness of God to be established in his life, which God already proposed, even in captivity, God had to orchestrate events. Amen? Praise God. God made the king to dream a dream. You know, the king could have dreamt any dream. You know, I mean, whatever. But God was going to do something for Daniel. So he made the king to dream a dream, and the king could not remember even what he dreamt. He woke up with sweat. He was sweating. And he was afraid. And he said, "I don't know. This dream troubled me. You know, but I can't remember it." And he called all the magicians and all the soothsayers and all the wise people. He said, tell me the dream, man. Tell me what it was," and so forth. And those people looked at him and said, "King, there has been nobody on the face of the earth that can do this thing that the king is asking. You know, how can we tell you your dream? We're not there when you dream the dream. You tell us the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation." And the king said, you know, because you guys are going to make something up. You know, if you don't tell me the dream, and you don't tell me the interpretation, I'm going to cut all your father's houses down to the ground. I'm going to destroy all of you, and all the wise men, magicians, soothsayers, everybody. So Daniel, he heard about that. And, you know, they had kind of grouped them along with the wise people because there was an excellent spirit upon them. Amen?
Amen.
So Daniel said, well, you know, hold on now. You know, he called his companions and said, look, let's pray. You know, so they went into the house, into their house, and he told his companions, and they sought the Lord, and they said, you know, and they prayed so that they would not be destroyed with the wise men and all the other people and so on. And the favor of God, the mercy of God, he said, let us ask God for his mercies. And the mercy of God came unto him, and Daniel dreamt the dream of Nebuchadnezzar over again. Amen, folks. Have you ever heard of such a thing? You know, not only was he going to get interpretation, he dreamt the same dream. Because this man said, if you don't show me my dream, I'm not going to believe the interpretation. But if you can show me my dream, then I'll know you have the interpretation. And that was a hard thing to ask for anybody, you know. But Daniel, the Lord, he gave him the dream. And Daniel stood before the king and he said, let the king know that the dream is sure and the interpretation is certain. Hallelujah. And he said, thou king, you dreamt this and so forth. And he laid it out, you know, to the king. You know, and my lands. Then the thing came back to the king and said, yeah, that's exactly the dream that I had. My goodness. There must be in this man the spirit of the gods. Well, you know, and so forth. He said, now, everybody, promote this man. Amen. And the next thing you know, they promoted. That's what we're reading here. Then the king made Daniel a great man. Daniel said to me, look, let the king know that it is not because of my wisdom that this thing is revealed to me, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Amen. So Daniel, he gave the glory to God, and God promoted him. You know, somebody in captivity, somebody who was a slave and so forth, he became, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, chief of staff or chief of the governance and so forth. I don't know. You know, I mean, he was over all the governors, over all the provinces and so forth. Just like that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. And Daniel, he remembered his friends. Amen. Daniel remembered his friends too. Listen to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12. You know, this is what Daniel, you know, he said, you know, concerning his friends. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12. You know, when all these things, you know, happened, you know, said there are certain Jews. I mean, you know, there are, before I read that, let me read Daniel chapter 2, verse 49. The king requested, Daniel requested of the king and set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel actually requested and also got his friends promoted. Amen.
Amen.
So all these his friends and himself were above all the affairs of Babylon. Now these his friends would have their own challenge later on too. You know, so that's the story I was about to read in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. People came up against them because of the favor of God that was in their life. You know, they said, look, these boys, they don't bow down to the image and the music and so forth that you're doing, you know, and so forth like that. And then the king was angry and wanted to throw them in the fire and so forth. So there's a story about that, but that's not my message today. But even the fire could not destroy the favor of God. Amen. They threw them, you can throw them in fire all you want.
That's right.
You know, but the favor of God was upon their lives.
Right.
And they come out of that fire, and there was nothing upon their bodies. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And look, listen to verse 30. After they defeated, you know, and quenched, the Bible says they quenched, you know, the violence of fire. After they quenched the violence of fire, and after they defeated this fire, and came out of there victorious, you know, the Bible says that the king, in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 30, promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I mean, look at all the various promotions. Every time promotion, these are people that came from captivity. These were people that came in chains. They brought them in chains from the land of Judah. They brought them in chains over. They were captive. They were slaves. But the favor of God changed their story. Amen. Hello, folks. Are you still with me?
Amen.
The favor of God can and will change your situation. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to leave that story there. You know, I can dwell on that for a long time, but I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to tell you another story. There's a story here in the book of Esther. Esther and Mordecai. Now, again, Esther was a slave. Hello, folks. Esther was a slave. In fact, you know, all the anti-Semitism and so forth, you know, started back in their days. You know, everyone had Hegel, you know, and so forth. Now, you've heard me preach on a story like that, Table in the Presence of Your Enemies, about 3 years ago. And if you haven't heard it, it's a good sermon. Listen to it on the website. You know, so, but anyway, you know, Esther's story, you know, I mean, I want you to notice something in Esther's story. And I'm going to start in Esther, you know, chapter 1. You know, there, you know, God, when the favor of God, when the time for God to favor you comes, or when it approaches, when the time draws near for the promise, God will cause some things to happen. Amen? That's right. Things that are even out of your control, God will cause them to happen, you know, so that that favor of God might come into being in your life, you know. So this story of Esther, I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'm sure some of you know the story. I'm not going to tell all of it. But this part here that I want to bring out, you know, we see that, right away, you know, God was fixing to do something good for Esther. And not only for Esther, well, for Mordecai, and actually for the children of Israel. Amen. You know, I mean, well, not the children of Israel, the Jews at the time, as they were called. You know, that's what they were called in the land where they were, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so, well, here's what happened. You know, in order that these things may happen, here's what happened. Now, the king, Ahasuerus was his name. He reigned from all the land of India to Ethiopia and everywhere and so forth. And they had all these Jews that had been scattered abroad. You know, and the Jews at that time didn't care too much for their heritage. But some of them are denying their heritage and all of these things and so forth. You know, but this king, he reigned and so forth. And there were some of the Jews that were in there, captives under his reign and so forth. Esther belonged to that, and her uncle that brought her up, Mordecai, was in that group and so forth. So, in order for God's favor to bring Esther from obscurity to the throne, amen, God made something to happen. One day the king made a feast and he did great things and so forth, and he invited the queen to come to the feast. You know, his queen at the time, Vashti. So the queen, you know, we're told, you know, refused to come to the feast. I don't know, you know, the king wanted to show off her beauty. He said, look, you know, he made called all his lords and everything like that, called everybody in his kingdom and said, I'm going to present to you the king, you know, Queen Vashti today, you know. And, you know, so he did all these great things and so forth. And it was time for the queen to come out. And the queen said, not today. I'm not coming to anything. You're not showing me off today. You know, I'll come when I want to. My goodness. I mean, you don't do that to the king. I don't care who you are. You know, so the king was sorrowful. He's, you know, so he spoke to his advisor and said, what are we going to do? How can the queen just diss me like this? You know, so they said, well, you know, they said, look, the queen did not just do this to you only, but he has done it to all your lords and all your chief people and so forth, because now all the women will have their husbands in this day. They will no longer respect their husbands because of all this thing that the queen has done. You must take action. You got to dethrone this woman. Praise God. So the king said, well, that sounds good. Get rid of her. Give me somebody else. You know, so they had this pageant and everybody lined up and so forth. And of course, you know, somehow Esther got in there. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. And at the end of the day, God caused Esther's beauty, you know, to outshine everybody else. And so, you know, it turned out that the king chose Esther to be his new queen. Amen? Amen. So, from slavery to the throne. And God was preparing Esther to save the lives of all the Jews at the time. You know, you have to listen to the sermon, Table in the Presence of Your Enemies, to hear the rest of it. When Haman tried to kill all the Jews, God turned the tables and proclaimed, you know, used Haman's own mouth to proclaim Mordecai as the chief of the land. You know, so, but the story is, not only did Esther rise out of obscurity to the throne, Mordecai also rose out of obscurity to being the chief in the land. And the king put his ring upon his hand and said, whatever Mordecai says goes. And God turned the thing around, and you know, they destroyed all their enemies, you know, that wanted to destroy them. You know, and what was the reason that Haman, who was chief at that time, wanted to destroy Mordecai? Because after the king promoted Haman, you know, and everybody bowed down to Haman, Mordecai wouldn't bow, because he said it's not the custom of our people to do it. And this man always, he was angry every day. So he plotted not only to kill Mordecai. He said, look, it's a little thing for me to get rid of this Mordecai. I'm going to get rid of all the Jews. Well, you don't get rid of the Jews. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. You know, you don't get rid of the Jews. Only God can do that if he wants to. And he is not going to do it. Amen? There shall a remnant be saved. Praise God. There's always going to be a remnant of the house of God. He couldn't do it. Hitler couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. Amen? Praise ye the name of the Lord. But the Antichrist cannot do it. You know, because God has chosen, you know, those people, and he will reserve always a remnant to himself. Amen. So God turned the tables in the story. I'm sure many of you know that story. But if you don't, read the book of Esther and also listen to that sermon I mentioned. God turned the story and took Esther from obscurity and made her a great person. Hallelujah. And of course, she started out from captivity, a slave, somebody who was nobody, going nowhere. You know, but the favor of God upon her life turned things around. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Well, I'm going to skip a few stories, and I'm going to jump to this one right now, because I want to keep this brief. My favorite one of these stories like this. This story of rags to riches. This story of captivity to greatness, or whatever you want to call it, of course, has to be Joseph. Amen? Amen, folks? Joseph, first of all, he was the smallest, or the least, or the youngest in his family. You know, at the time. You know, other than his younger brother, you know, who was behind him. But his older brothers, the 10 other brothers, didn't like him very much because of, you know, of course, the favor of God was upon Joseph, you know, from a long time, you know. I mean, even before he was born, the favor of God was already upon him. Amen? Amen. You say, well, how is that true? Well, that's the way it is. Because we are told in Romans chapter 9, you know, concerning, you know, when Rebecca had twins and so forth, you know, and she said, look, you know, when the twins were still in her belly, before they had done any evil or any good, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. It was said unto her, there are twins in your womb, but the elder will serve the younger. Amen? That's a favor of God upon the younger. It was just like that. So, you know, of course, you know, Joseph, you know, I mean, his father liked him because he was a child of his old age and so forth from the other woman, you know, and all that, from his younger wife. So, he used to have all these dreams. And he told his brothers his dreams, you know, that were absurd dreams. And bottom line of his dreams was that his brothers and everybody was going to bow down to him. Well, that's bottom line. You know, so they didn't like him. They hated him more because of those dreams. And his father brought him a rainbow coat. And they hated him even more, you know, because of that. So they plotted, you know, they always wanted to get rid of him and so forth. So one day, you know, they had the opportunity to do that. When the father sent him to go and visit his older brothers, you know, where they were keeping sheep, they said, oh yeah, here come this dreamer of dreams. You know, let's bump him off. And then we'll see what will become of his dreams. You know, so, of course, one of his brothers intervened that they shouldn't do that and all that. Well, you know, all kinds of things started happening to Joseph for no reason. For no fault of his own. You know, they threw him into the dungeon. I mean, this was just a kid, maybe perhaps 17 years old. I don't know how old he was. He was just a kid, maybe even younger. You know, they threw him into the dungeon. The next thing you know, while he's still, you know, digesting that, they sold him into a slave trade caravan that was carrying him all the way to Egypt. Can you imagine a young teenager like that carried away from his family? And it seemed like, look, it didn't matter what Joseph did, he got into deeper trouble. He just got into deep, I mean, not because he did anything wrong, but trouble was always finding him. Amen? It just seemed like trouble was finding him, you know. I mean, but at the same time, the favor of God was upon his life. When they brought him into the slave caravan and so forth, You know, they brought him to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar was chief of army staff of Egypt at the time. You know, and they brought the trade caravan. He bought them all. He bought all his slaves. And he started to look at the ones that he would like to stand before him and so forth. And he said, yeah, I want that one. Amen. So he found Joseph. You know, and they put Joseph. And as soon as Joseph got in there, the favor of God was upon him. He was a slave. He was a nobody. But they made him the head of the slaves. You know. And then, of course, you know what Potiphar's wife did. You know, conspired against him and so forth. Because, Joseph wouldn't commit adultery with her. And then, you know, God got him into prison, you know. And then, but Joseph, he stayed faithful to the Lord. Amen. He said, I cannot commit this great wickedness against my God. You know, my Lord, your husband, he's kept nothing back from me in this house. He made me head of all except you, his wife. So I'm not going to do this. So anyway, you know how the story went. He ended up in prison because of that and so forth. You know, and they put him in the slammer. They put him in the, you know, dungeon. I mean, the place where the wicked and so forth people and those people who are condemned to die were thrown into. And even when he got there, there was still favor upon him. Amen. As soon as he got there, the captain of the guard made him captain of the prisoners. You know, and you know, and my, I mean, favor of God. You can throw this boy into dungeon. You can put him into prison. You can do anything you want. But the favor of God will continue in his life. Amen. And the favor of God continually, in spite of all those things, moved him closer and closer to his destiny. Amen. So, one day, the king, Pharaoh, was angry with his baker and his chief chef and so on. And he threw them in the slammer where Joseph was. You know. And God, the whole time, was setting up Joseph, you know, for this encounter, you know, an opportunity. The best that Joseph would have done if he hadn't been thrown into that jail would have been to have been the head of the servants in Potiphar's house. That's the best he would have done. You know, but God, you know, orchestrated these events, allowed these things to happen. Of course, Joseph, he stayed true to the Lord. Amen? You know, and, you know, they threw him in jail and everything, but the favor of God, and through the gift of God, you know, interpretation of dreams, just like Daniel. Through the gift of God, God walking in him and so forth, he was able to use that gift and so forth. And eventually, you know, that gift brought him to stand before Pharaoh. Amen? Cutting the story short. And then when he stood before Pharaoh, and again, he used that gift. You know, after Pharaoh had a dream that he could not figure out. And he used that gift to bring wisdom and understanding to Pharaoh, and give him instruction on how to save his people from dying and so forth after the years of plenty and then the years of famine were coming. And Pharaoh said, wow, my lands. And they, you know, Joseph said, well, here's what you're going to do. Seek out a man that has wisdom and understanding and so forth that will order these things aright and save you all this extra food that they're going to have in these 7 fat years and so on, and then make provision for the other years that are going to be terrible. And Pharaoh said, well, where are we going to find such a person? Nobody could tell you what the dream meant. I've asked the magicians, I've asked the soothsayers, I've asked all the wise men of the land. They couldn't figure out the dream. How are they going to figure out what to do? You will be the man. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And Joseph, the next thing you know, vice regent. He's over all the land. And they put his ring, Pharaoh put his ring on Joseph and said, clean him up. Put the royal crown on him. Put the royal garment on him. And set him on his royal chariot. And set him right through the land and say, this is Joseph. And I am Pharaoh. Amen. Praise God. And everybody bowed to Joseph. And finally, his dreams came to pass because his brethren came to buy food and so forth. And they had to bow to him as well. You know the story. Now, in those stories, there are other stories that I would tell, but I cut them out for time. In those stories, it's enough. Because the Bible says, mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. I've already told 2 or 3 stories here. You know, in those stories, it is enough for you to see how the light of God's countenance and his favor works in the life of people. Amen? Amen. And it doesn't matter, you know, if that favor is in your life, it doesn't matter whether you are in the dungeon right now. That favor is going to lift you up. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, and I pray and I say, Lord, you know, let the light of your countenance and let the favor of God lift up your people, Lord. no matter what situation they are in, no matter how they found it. You know, sometimes, folks, you know, some of you are in a bad shape because of foolishness. I know that. Because you didn't make good decisions. Some of you are in financial difficulties and all kinds of things and so forth like that because of bad choices that you made a few years back, you know, and so forth. But nevertheless, hear ye the word of the Lord today. Amen. Yet 21 days. Amen. Yet 21 days. And the Lord, the favor of God and his countenance shall be revealed in your life before the end of this year. Amen. If you believe it, you can say amen for it. Now, that's not for everybody. Because, you know, of course, it's not for everybody. It's for those who are down and out. I mean, well, not out. You're never out as a child of God. Amen. Amen, folks. You can never be out. You may be down, but you are never out. Praise God. And when you are down, you know, it's kind of like those prize fighters, the boxers. When they're down in their corner, you know, the manager, you know, he's not going to throw in the towel. He's going to say, get up. Get up. You can do this. Amen. Eye of the tiger. And he's going to say, you can do it. You know, praise God. And you've got the Lord in your corner this morning. Amen. And I'm also in your corner saying to you, get up. You can do this because the favor of God is in your life. And it's not going to be by your power, never mind that. It's not going to be by your sword, never mind that. It's not going to be by your wisdom, never mind that. It's going to be because of the light of God's countenance and because he will have a favor unto you. You say, well, you know, if the favor of God be with me, where be then all of his mercies and the goodness that I've seen, you know, in other people's lives? Well, one time Gideon, he said the same. He said, when the angel came and visited him, he said, you know, thou mighty man of valor, you know, and so forth, you're going to do great things in life, and so on. And I said, Gideon said, well, you know, if the favor of God be with me, how come, you know, everything is still status quo? You know, and the angel said, never mind about that. You know, that was then. This is now. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. That was then. But this is now. There is something, and for some of you in here this morning, that the Lord is going to do. And let me tell you this. When the time of promise drew near, you have to read the story that Stephen told in Acts chapter 7. And how he told the story of how God dealt with Israel and brought them through all these things and so forth. And how he came, he even told the story of Joseph, which I just told you now. And he said, look, you know, when the time of promise drew near, you know, for God to do the thing that he said, God began to orchestrate some things. And that's what I want to emphasize here this morning. I believe from the bottom of my heart and with all of my soul that the Lord, he spoke the word in August and said, yet 4 months, and before the end of this year, your situation will be changed. Amen. And I said to the Lord, I said, well, the time of promise is drawing near. Amen. So let God arise and move for his people. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. Hallelujah. Because the time of promise is drawing near. The light of God's countenance will now shine upon your life. If you believe that, you can say amen. Amen. Because the time of promise is drawing near, the favor of God will now begin to operate in your life. Amen. Amen. But there is something, there is still a cloud that is holding back that light from shining through. And that's the one that I want to dispel here this morning by the power of God. Amen. God has designed something special for your life. But there's something that's holding you back. Well, it's like the bars of iron. It's like the gates of brass. They are still holding you back. And, you know, sometimes it's you yourself holding yourself back because you're thinking, you know, you're trying to figure it all out, how God's going to do it. Never mind about that. You just believe the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You know, one time the angel said to Mary, he said, look, you know, this is going to happen and so forth like that, you know, and you're going to have a baby and so on. And Mary said, I can't, you know, how's that going to be? I haven't even been with man. And the angel said, never mind about that. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And immediately she heard that word, she believed it. And the word, because she believed it, the word was conceived in her and made flesh. Hallelujah. Now, and they said there shall be a performance of those things that she believed. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you will believe the word of the Lord that I spoke here this morning, and which the Lord already spoke a few months back, saying that before the end of this year, now some of you say, well, this is a situation that I've struggled with for many years. I've been looking for work for many years. How can it all be, you know, within? Well, you know, it won't be for you then if you think that way. Amen? Because one time one man said, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, you know, the book of 1 Kings 7, you know, shall these things be? And I said, wow, you know, if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, shall these things be? And then the man of God said, well, you know, these things will be, but you won't taste of it. And of course, those things happened, and the man never tasted of it. Isn't that a sad situation, you know, to go up against the word of the Lord like that? It is best for you to believe the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
You know, in fact, the Bible says that unless you believe the word of the Lord, you know, that it will not profit in your heart. So in this story, of course, you know, a lot of things have been happening to these people in 2 Kings chapter 7. I said 1 Kings earlier, but I meant 2 Kings. And when the Lord, when Elisha gave this word, he said, by this time tomorrow. Amen?
Amen?
Well, I'm not even saying tomorrow, you know. I mean, if the Lord can turn a situation around overnight like that, don't you think that he can turn it around before the end of this year? And I listened to the gravity of what Elisha said in 2 Kings. Because Samaria, you know, was, you know, they had besieged them and so forth. And the Syrians, you know, they cut off their supply and so on for many, many days. You know, and Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. And 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Now, some of you may not know what that means. Well, let me put it to you this way. I mean, just look at the way gasoline prices are now. It's about 3 and a quarter, say. So, you know, if I were to say, I mean, gasoline is 3 and a quarter right now, a gallon. If I were to say, this is the gravity of what Elisha said. The gasoline that is sold for 3 and a quarter right now. Elisha came out and said something like this. By this time tomorrow, gasoline in Phoenix will be sold for a nickel per gallon. Hello, folks. That's the gravity. I'm not saying that. Don't say he said that. I'm just saying that's the gravity of what Elisha said. In case you are saying, what's a shekel, what's a this, and all this. That's the gravity of what he said. Like, the things were so high, and he just radically said God would change it overnight. And then this man said, my goodness, even if God would open the windows of heaven, how can this thing be? Are you kidding me? If God will open the windows of heaven? Well, Elisha said, because you said that, God will indeed open the windows of heaven. But you will not taste of it. And you have to read the rest of the story. The man did not taste of it. He died. He was trampled under during the stampede. You know. But there is nothing that God cannot do. In order for the word of the Lord to come to pass, that he spoke by the mouth of Elisha the prophet, it took 4 lepers to scare away the entire army of the Syrians. Because the Lord, he can do anything, amen, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. Now, if you are here this morning, I'm going to pray with you. And I don't want you to say, well, you know, if the, you know, my, you know, the heavens are brass, my life is shut out, you know, how can this thing be? Well, don't say that. Because if you say that, you cannot receive anything from the Lord. But if you will believe the word of the Lord this morning, I am going to believe God with you. Because I'm standing in the message of the Lord this morning, and I'm saying to you, the time of promise, I said to the Lord already, the time of promise is drawing near. And it is now time for you to turn around the situation of your people like you promised. So if you are here this morning, and you say, I want to see. Now, this is not for everybody. This is just, you want something turn around before the end of this year. But first, you have to say to the Lord, I believe the word of the Lord. I believe what you said, Lord, that you will turn the things around for me before the end of this year. Now, it may be a job situation. It may be something chronic in the family. It may be with your children. Maybe whatever. It does not matter to the Lord. You know, the Lord can turn things overnight. And I've given you enough stories here how he took people from rags to riches. You know, people from captivity to the kingdom. You know, anything. God can do anything. Amen. Yes. Amen, folks. Amen. So if you are here this morning and you want me to believe the Lord with you, I want you to step out by faith, and we're going to do this quickly. I am going to believe the Lord with you. Hallelujah. You say, there is a situation in my life that must change before the end of this year. Amen. I am going to believe the Lord with you. Because God is able. He is able to do all things. Hallelujah. Now for those of you that stepped out, I want you to lift up your hands and believe God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou, O Lord, my unbelief. Lord, I believe your word. Help me this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your mercies. Now I want you to pray in your own words a few, you know, minutes before the Lord, before I pray with you. While you are there with your hands lifted, just pray before the Lord. Come on, folks, pray. And ask the Lord the mercy of God in your life. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Behold, hear ye the word of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 25. For I am the Lord, I will speak. And he has spoken here this morning. In fact, he spoke it back in August as well. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. If you believe that, you can say amen.
Amen.
I want you to stop praying for a minute and listen to this word. I'm going to read to you from Ezekiel 12 and 25. For I am the Lord, and if I read something that strikes your heart, you can say amen. For I am the Lord, and I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass.
Amen.
It shall be no more prolonged.
Amen.
For in your days will I say the word, and in your days will I perform it, saith the Lord. And he said, Son of man, the house of Israel may say, the vision that thou seest is for many days to come. You know, how can the Lord do it before the end of this year and so forth like that? You know, it's for times that are far off. It cannot happen this year. He said, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore.
Amen.
But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God.
Amen.
Now lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Father, move upon all these hands. Move upon these hands that are lifted up. In the name of Jesus. Sweep over them, Lord. Hallelujah. The word which you have spoken, yet 21 days before the end of this year, and the Lord is going to do something new. The favor of God, let it begin to work in the lives of these your children. Let the light of your countenance now begin to shine. And God is rewriting your story.
Amen.
Oh yeah, he's already done it. The angels are already gone into operation. Now the Bible says that the angels of God, are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth on your behalf to bring to pass the word of God. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, O ye his saints. Bless the Lord, O ye angels that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. The angels of God, the mighty ones, the strong ones that are sent out on your behalf, they are waiting for the voice of God's word from your mouth. And if you will proclaim with your mouth today, I don't want you to say, you know, who is going to go to heaven and bring Jesus down. I don't want you to say, well, who's going to bring him out from the grave? Because he's no longer there. But the word of faith is in your mouth. I want you to speak the word and say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Come on, every one of you that is here, say that this morning. Say, be it unto me, O Lord, according to your word. Be it unto me, O Lord, according to the word that you have declared. Let the favor of God and the light of his countenance begin to work in my situation. I give you the praise. I give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to listen. The Bible says that God lifts up the beggars from the dunghill. And we've seen stories in the Bible today how he lifted up people from captivity. Slaves. And he brought them to the top of the kingdom. Because of the favor of God. Hallelujah. Now your story may not be that dramatic, but he's going to pull you out of the miry clay. He's going to put your feet on the solid rock. And he's going to put a new song in your mouth to sing the praise of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap in here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, let my people go, saith the Lord. For it is the time, and the time of promise is here to favor my people. Now, some of you, it's always this close. I don't know what it is, you know, but you always get this close, and then, boom, the thing just vanishes. You get this close, and it vanishes. You get this, it's like a mirage. Well, no more, saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. No more.
Hallelujah.
This year, the Lord will turn that situation around.
Amen.
You will lay your hand on that which has eluded you, and you will grab it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's right. You know, that which you have thought was hitherto unattainable. But those are the exact words that the Lord gave in that prophetic utterance back in August. That which you have thought was hitherto unattainable, before the end of this year, you shall attain it. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now the Lord gave that promise point blank to the people of this church. I don't know if it applies to everybody in the world. I'm not responsible for everybody in this world. But point blank, for the people in this church,
amen,
the Lord gave that word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I want to tell you that the Lord gives the word, and great is the company of hosts of angels that shall make it happen in your life.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, move the clouds back from their life, and let the light of your countenance shine.
Amen.
And let the favor of God bring this word to pass.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yet 21 days. And the Lord will do that new thing in your life. We give you the praise, Lord. We give you the glory. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Shout the victory here this morning. Shout the victory here this morning. Shout the victory here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated.